Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas, Tierra Curry. Thanks for being with us on the show, Tierra.
Thanks so much for having me on the program.
Tierra, why don't we start out by having you tell our listeners how you got involved in animal activism?
I grew up in the most beautiful place. I grew up in Appalachia in southeastern Kentucky, just surrounded by all kinds of wild animals, playing in the creek, catching frogs, all kinds of birds. So I've just loved animals my entire life. And then when I was in high school, I was actually eating a hamburger one day, and a guy came up to me and told me that by eating the hamburger, I was destroying the tropical rainforest. And I was like, what? What does my delicious hamburger have to do with the tropical rainforest? You're crazy. And then I looked it up, and I saw that our choices affect the global environment. And now there's so many other things that are also, you know, destroying the tropical rainforest, from palm oil to soybeans. And so I think that if you do love animals and you have a global consciousness, it's really important that you consider the sources of all of the goods and products that we consume.
Tell us how long you've been working for the Center of Biological Diversity and what your group's been working on.
I joined the center in 2007. And before that, I actually worked for the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and I got to count salamanders for a living. So that was a pretty great gig, too, getting to walk up creeks and count salamanders. At the center, I focus on endangered species issues. The center is a national nonprofit organization that tries to save endangered species and the habitats that they need to survive. So I try to get federal protection for species. And then once species are on the endangered species list, I actively fight projects that would destroy their habitat.
And it's so sad right now that the Endangered Species Act is being weakened by political pressures in Washington.
It is horrible, and it's a really terrible precedent, because now any senator or representative who wants to push through a project that's going to harm an endangered species can attach delisting that species.
Well, one species that's not quite endangered yet that you guys have been working a lot on are rattlesnakes. Can you tell us how the center and you personally got involved on working to help preserve rattlesnake populations?
Yes. A professor in Florida, Dr. Bruce Means, called me up and asked me to help with the campaign. He's been working to try to stop the rattlesnake roundups in the Southeast for years, and he published a paper. He analyzed the data on eastern diamondback rattlesnake populations for the past half century and found that the roundups are contributing to the decline of the species. And so the eastern diamondback is a species that has already been wiped out from a lot of its range. There's still three rattlesnake roundups that go out and actively hunt for it, and it's causing the species to decline.
Well, so, tell us what a rattlesnake roundup is. I think there's one here in El Amagordo near us, but maybe some of our listeners don't really understand what goes on at these rattlesnake roundups.
A rattlesnake roundup is a contest where hunters go out and catch as many rattlesnakes as they can in a year, and then they bring them in to the roundup. And there are prizes for the most snakes and the biggest snakes. And then what happens depends on the particular roundup. The roundups in the Southeast, they just put all the snakes in a big pit and display them to the public, and they're not killed on site. They're killed later. They're sold for their skins and for meat. The roundup in Sweetwater, Texas, is the biggest roundup in the world and the worst roundup, in my opinion. And at that one, members of the public can pay to skin the rattlesnake. So the people there will cut off its head, and then you can pay to skin it. And they actually have a beauty pageant, and the winner of the beauty pageant is required to get her scholarship to skin a snake.
I've also read that the Center for Disease Control says that handling snakes in that manner is a good way of spreading salmonella.
Oh, absolutely. And at the roundups in the Southeast, they used to handle the snakes, and they used to serve rattlesnake meat that was cooked on site. And those state health departments intervene. So that doesn't happen in the Southeast anymore, but apparently it still happens in Texas.
Texas has the most number of rattlesnake roundups, don't they?
I think so, and they definitely collect the most. The Sweetwater Roundup has collected more than 125 tons of rattlesnakes.
How many snakes is that? How much does a snake weigh?
A lot of snakes, maybe a couple pounds. If that would be a very big snake. And Oklahoma's is really bad, too. In Oklahoma, they catch the snakes, they put them in the freezer so that they become docile, and then they sew their mouths shut, and then they pass them around at the roundup so that people can handle them with their mouths sewn shut.
And then after that, of course, I'm sure they're meet a similar fate of those in Texas and the other states where they're ultimately killed and sold for skin or meat.
Exactly. And well, the other thing about these roundups, I mean, in addition to being incredibly cruel, are they have serious ecological impacts in that removing the rattlesnakes from the ecosystem is going to allow the rodent populations to explode, which is going to put serious pressure on the vegetation, which is going to affect other species that need that vegetation. But also, when they hunt the snakes, it's pretty common to go pour gasoline or ammonia or homemade concoctions into tortoise burrows.
What?
To try to run out the snakes.
That's terrible.
It is terrible. And there are like 350 other species that use the burrows that snakes use. So you're not just getting your rattlesnake, you're hurting about 350 other species, and you're dumping toxins into the environment.
There's no regulation on them putting toxins into the environments, like the roundups can do this without getting in trouble for polluting the environment?
In some states, it's illegal. Like in Georgia and Alabama, it's illegal to pour gasoline into tortoise burrows. But if you Google how to hunt a rattlesnake, you'll get all kinds of advice from hunters on how to do it, how to take your hose and your gas out. So it still happens. 2 years ago, the Georgia Department of Natural Resources busted some guys who were out using gas to catch rattlesnakes right before the roundup. And even like National Geographic has a big article photographing and showing people putting stuff in the burrow. So does ESPN. So the evidence is out there that it's happening, but because there are state laws in some states that prohibit it, the officials just say, oh, it's illegal, it doesn't happen anymore.
Tell us a little bit, Tiara, what actions you guys are taking to try to get these rattlesnake hunts made illegal or compliant, at least with environmental laws. What are your goals for your program?
We have focused on Georgia and Alabama because those are the only remaining roundups in the Southeast, and because we have the science showing that the roundups are contributing to the decline of the eastern diamondback. And so we started out kind of going it alone and writing letters to the Attorney General, you know, pointing out that gas was being used, other species were being harmed. We wrote letters to the governor. We didn't get any response. So then we started focusing on building a grassroots effort down in the Southeast, which has been fantastic. There's a new nonprofit called One More Generation. And it was founded by an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old kid, Carter and Olivia, and they're a brother and sister. And they're just amazing. And so they've really taken on the roundups. They're getting people to sign petitions. They're trying to change the state law so that rattlesnake roundups would become illegal in Georgia. And they're just these adorable kids. And they actually went to the roundup. And then they wrote letters, poignant letters, to the roundup organizers that you can read on their website, which is onemoregeneration.org. So they've really taken the lead on fighting the roundups in Georgia. And then another grassroots group started down there called POWLS, Protecting All Living Species. They're also working to get the roundup organizers to change the roundups to festivals where rattlesnakes aren't hunted or killed. There used to be another roundup in Georgia, and they turned it into a wild chicken festival. And so people still come out and have a good time and have a community festival, but it's not cruel to animals.
They're not rounding up wild chickens, right?
No, they're not. And the same thing happened in San Antonio, Florida. I need to give them some kudos, too. They used to have a big rattlesnake roundup, and now they have a rattlesnake festival where snakes aren't hunted or killed. Because one of the things that the people who hold these roundups say is that their communities need the revenue. They give it to the fire department, the Girl and Boy Scouts, homeless people. You know, they have all these awesome charities they hide behind. But the reality is that if the roundups became festivals that weren't cruel, where snakes weren't hunted or killed, people would still come out to the festival.
I like to think that more people would come to a festival rather than a roundup slaughter kind of a thing.
Or beauty queens skinning their own snake. That seems...
I agree with you guys. And so we've had a lot of luck just building grassroots community efforts in the Southeast to try to pressure the roundup organizers to change the focus of the festival. And then we're also going at it from the legal front there were a couple state laws in Georgia, one that said you had to have a permit to display wildlife and one that says you can't transport wildlife over the state line. And a lot of the snakes that are brought into Georgia are hunted in Florida. So we sent letters to the Attorney General and to the sheriffs and to the Georgia Department of Natural Resources and pointed this out. And instead of using those laws to shut down the roundups, they just issued permits to the roundups. So then we sent them a letter saying, hey, you issued these permits in error.
Yeah.
It's an uphill battle.
We have a lot of students here in our university that are studying snakes and rattlesnakes because of, you know, where we live. They're, like you said, they're important parts of the ecosystem. And one of the students was telling me on a unrelated topic that hunting rattlesnakes in California has actually shifted the population behavior of the snakes so that they're rattling less and their rattles are shorter. Have you seen any studies documenting this?
I haven't read the studies, but numerous people have told me that. I mean, that's certainly not good for us to have rattlesnakes that don't rattle, because right now your chances of getting struck by lightning are greater than your chances of getting bit by a rattlesnake. And part of that is because, you know, rattlesnakes rattle and then you back away and they back away and you both go about your business. So it's terrible that we're putting that selective pressure on the populations.
I've read that about 15 people, only 15 people, die each year from snake bites. And I suppose most of that is happening by handlers at rattlesnake roundups, right?
That is true. Your chances of getting bit by a snake go up drastically if you go out and look for them and try to pick them up.
Well, tell us a little bit about the mythology of the rattlesnake that helps perpetuate this practice, because obviously, like you say, people like festivals, but they're rallying around rattlesnakes and justifying killing them because they think they're,
dangerous.
Yeah.
Well, we have a website. If you go to biologicaldiversity.org and go to our campaign page, we have a page called Outlawing Rattlesnake Roundups. So there's a lot of information on there about how rattlesnakes are important in the ecosystem and how your chances of getting bit by one are very low, and information about the communities that still hold festivals. And the other thing on there is a petition that you can sign. Right now we only have about 3,400 signatures on it. When we get up to 10,000 signatures, I'm going to send it to all of the organizers of all the remaining roundups, and it's just going to present some education to them and ask them to change the focus of their festival. I think that people still kill rattlesnakes just because they either don't know any better or they just don't think about it. And so really it's a matter of education, you know, educating as many people as possible.
I thought one reason that people out west, at least, were so rabid for killing rattlesnakes was that they felt that cattle were getting bit by rattlesnakes and they were trying to protect their cows. Do you ever hear that as a justification?
You know, from the Sweetwater Roundup was started back in the 50s. That was a justification for it, but it's hard for me to believe today that after 125 tons of rattlesnakes later that the rattlesnakes are still so numerous that they're threatening people's cattle on any sort of a relevant scale.
Are people looking to see if the populations are being decimated and may need protection in Texas and Florida, like you were talking about? In Georgia and the southeastern rattlesnake?
I haven't seen any recent studies on that, and that is a study that is waiting to happen. I sure wish that someone would look at that data, because I would put it to good use, but I haven't seen any recent studies on it. There was one, the American Society of Ichthyologists and Herpetologists put out a position paper against rattlesnake roundups years ago, but it wasn't based on population concerns. It was just based on ecological effects and pretty much common sense. You don't go out and overhunt a wildlife species.
Well, and also people should be aware, like here in El Paso, we have many species of rattlesnakes. It's not just like there's one species that people are rounding up and killing. There's quite a variety of rattlesnakes, and they all have different venom characteristics, different habitat preferences, different prey items that they prefer. So rattlesnakes are, it's not just like there's a rattlesnake.
Well, I've read there's about 30 species. Is that right?
I'm not sure. There's certainly a lot. In Arizona, we have at least 6 or 7.
And we have 6 here in El Paso as well, I believe.
Are there any of them that are protected by regulations, federal or state?
No. And a lot of states specifically have laws that forbid the protection of venomous snakes. The state of Georgia has a law that prohibits the Department of Natural Resources from regulating venomous snakes. So
that it is an uphill battle that you're fighting, Tierra.
It is one of the things that, well, I mean, three of the things we need to do is, one, educate the public about the Roundups and why they're not cool and it's not okay to go to them and why they need to change. Two is pressure the organizers of the Roundups to just change them to festivals. And the third way is to get at the state laws that prohibit snakes from being protected in any way.
Are you working with other animal advocacy groups to work on that kind of legislation?
We're working with the Humane Society a little bit. And then we're trying to get, we've got all the grassroots pressure in Georgia to try to get those state laws to change. But it's a huge job. We need people in every state. There's six states that still have Roundups, and we need people in those states to get involved, to write letters, to comb the state laws to see where the leverage points could be.
Well, why don't you tell us what those six states are again so we can remember, in case some of our listeners live in any of those states.
It's Alabama, Georgia, Kansas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Texas.
I've also heard they have rattlesnake roundups in Pennsylvania. Do those still go on?
The ones in Pennsylvania aren't lethal. They catch them, and then they take them to the roundup, and the Department of Natural Resources is there, and they actually tag them, and then they go let them go where they found them. So that's not ideal. You know, ideally, we'd like to see snakes not get hunted, brought in display, and then supposedly taken back to where they were found, but that one is at the bottom of my priority list to tackle because those snakes aren't killed.
Well, isn't this a way that disease could be spread among the population if you bring them together in a concentrated fashion like that? And then if one is diseased and then you, all of them are exposed and then you take them out and put them into the wild, I think that would be pretty devastating to, could potentially be devastating to natural populations. And I believe something similar to that happened with desert tortoises.
Yeah, I agree with you entirely. It could spread disease. People could get hurt. It disrupts habitat. There's no guarantee the snakes are taken back to where they were found. It's still not great, but it's seventh on the list to tackle. It's well, not a lethal roundup.
Well, move Texas up to number two for
least,
us here,
yeah.
Here in El Paso.
We've been talking with Tierra Curry, conservation biologist for the Center for Biological Diversity. Thanks for being with us on the show, Tierra. This is an important issue, and we appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. I hope your listeners are inspired to get involved and try to change the roundups.
And once again, your website where they can learn more information about this is
biologicaldiversity.org.
Okay, thanks, Tierra.
Thank you so much.
Thanks.